not created specifically for horse racing. Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on
Sirius
XM Radio.
My love has no beginning, my love has no end. No front or back, and my love will bend. I'm in the middle, lost in spin, loving you. And you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know how glad I am. My love has no bottom, my love has no top. My love won't rise and my love won't drop.
We're back.
And I can't stop.
Hour three from OBS. And last year when we were here, just kind of inadvertently, we were introduced to and immediately were delighted to meet the Crowns Way team, and they went on to have a terrific year, and they're back again.
Yeah, we had a great OBS March last year. We came out of the sale with Copper Missile, and that's when we talked to you. And then later on that day, we ended up with Shards as well, who became our first Breeders' Cup horse.
And I mean, that's what that's the whole dream. I mean, and introduce yourself again and you know, the background of Crowns Way.
Yeah, so my name's Anthony Rollo with Crowns Way Racing. We have been in business since 2018, originally based in Chicago in the Arlington circuit. And now that Arlington's no more, then we have branched out and we run Kentucky and pretty much anywhere on the East Coast.
Well, and in fact, you mentioned Arlington. I did not get into the story from Monday afternoon,
yeah.
but you could see it coming. And there was never a question that the Bears would leave the lakefront. The whole concept was preposterous. You've got one of the just idyllic settings
yep.
at the park. They were never going to go to Arlington. The whole thing was nonsensical.
Yeah, I know parking's always been an issue around Soldier Field, so that would have been better at Arlington. But I never saw them leaving the city, and yeah, it's just kind of a shame now that who knows what's going to happen with that great plot of land.
It's unbelievable. Meanwhile, you go on, and how many horses in training, typically?
We've gotten up to, like, 13 or 14. Currently, right now,
wow.
We have 9.
Right.
And, well, I guess now we have 11 because of the two we added yesterday.
So, well, talk about coming to this sale and, you know, the budget that you approach it with and, you know, the philosophy, essentially.
Yeah, we've had a lot of success here, you know, buying horses in the mid-market, 75,000 around there. We've stretched on Shards last year. He was 185, but Copper Missile was a horse we won at Kentucky Downs with, and we got him out of here for 60 last year. So he was a nice one. And then so this year we added two out of the Lothenbach dispersal, number 75, who's a Munnings, and number 234, a dialed in filly. So both fillies and both from the Lothenbach dispersal.
Interesting. And was there any, was there any philosophical, because we talked earlier with Kip Elser and with Terry Finley about, in part, because of course they bought
the big
sale topper. Yeah. Was there any focus on the gallop horses?
Yeah, they were definitely on my radar coming down here. I knew Bob very briefly towards the last 5 or 6 years, and my dad had known him through the printing industry, and obviously I know Neil Pessin and Chris Block very well from the days in Chicago, and Bob had a lot of smart people working for him, so if they were willing to give those kind of numbers for those horses at Keeneland, we felt great, you know, piggybacking off of what they liked and finding two really nice fillies, I think, hopefully at a nice value.
The basic concept that, you know, you don't have to spend $1.2 million. And you guys proved that. How much was Shards?
Shards was 185.
So, I mean, you know, less than 200. And that's a sweet spot for a,
yeah,
you know, especially for, I mean, you'd call yourself a small to medium-sized partnership,
yes,
essentially,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Is it a core group of friends and owners, and or has it spread, you know, as you've gotten, especially, you know, ending up with a horse like Shards?
Yeah, we have grown every year as far as word of mouth is kind of how we've done everything. We've just started to really start growing our advertising budget, and we'll be doing NHCs this week. We'll have a table out there, so anyone that's qualified for the NHC and wants to come by and talk horses, we'll be there. And we're over 100 partners now.
That's great. I mean, in terms of, because I brought this up with Terry as well. You're going to be at a very interesting juncture between more players. We need more horse players, and we need more owners. And that intersection, is perfect. That's very clever that you're going to, you know, be out at NHC.
Yeah, you know, we're hoping to meet more new people, and, you know, we ran our first horse in California last year, and so maybe we can keep growing and keep spreading out. I'd love to have a West Coast ring at some point, too. Right now, we're pretty much focused on Kentucky with Kelsey, but, I want to run everywhere.
Kelsey, who else is training?
So Kelsey is our main trainer.
Danner.
Yep, Kelsey Danner. Jimmy Gulick has a couple us, and then we're actually, for the first time in a couple of years, going to send two back to Hawthorne this year. Chris Block's going to train one.
Great.
And Armando Hernandez will train the other one.
Nice. And that, you know, that's a another element, getting horses in more. I say we need owners, we need horse players, we need horses in more hands, and spread out, good horses spread out in more outfits with, you know, that's in, you know, listen, the era of the super trainer, everybody understands it, and you know, the 80-20 rule.
Yep.
There's certain things that are just going to be realities, but for competitive balance, essentially, it's important that, you know, that good horses find their way, you know, to other
people. I think that's something Bob proved. I mean, he was using Chris Block and Neil Pessin and Ian Wilkes. Yeah. And, you know, not the mega trainers, but still good-sized trainers. And I think they showed they could have a lot of success with those kind of horses. You know, Bell's the One and Captivating Moon. They had a lot of great horses. And hopefully we can keep building upon that with a couple of the ones that their team picked out.
Well, talk about the I never really asked these questions about, like, the financials. I mean, what's a percentage? I mean, how are horses broken up?
So we sell in series. So if you buy into Crownsway this year, you get part of both fillies we bought.
Oh, cool.
And anything else we buy today, we're still looking, and maybe we'll add another one or two today. And, yeah, we do $1,000 minimum, so we'd like to keep it affordable. I want to be able to keep it at the point where anybody can play. I don't want, you know, I personally would have loved to get in one of these when I was younger, and I didn't have that kind of dispendable cash, and I wanted to keep our level at something that reflects that without being a super micro share type group. So, and we have partners that are buying at the minimum that are getting world-class racing experiences. We ran on Derby Day last year in the American Turf. We've run in the Jiper on Belmont Day. We've run on Pimlico at Preakness Day. And we've obviously now made it to the Breeders' Cup.
In a fairly short order. How did you get to Kelsey, out of curiosity?
Through Dee Dee McGehee.
Oh, sure.
Yep, my grandpa bred horses with Dee Dee for
how
a long time.
How about that?
Yeah, my grandpa had a ton of Illinois breds, mostly.
Oh, that's great.
And that's how we met Dee Dee. They started breeding mares together, and Dee Dee and I have continued a friendship, and she spoke the world of Kelsey, yep. And we've been with Kelsey since probably the beginning of the pandemic. 2020 was the first time we sent horses with Kelsey, and she's just grown, and yeah. It's a first-class operation she's running.
She does a great job, and one of a phalanx of and new generation of, I hate to say a female trainer, but you know, there's this very strong Jade Cunningham, who I have not had a chance to mention yet, who worked for Dallas Stewart. Jade got her first win Saturday at Oak Lawn.
Oh, that's great!
And I saw that she arrived here yesterday. She's got interest in adding a couple of horses as well. So. Cherie DeVoe, who's you had the Jenny at the Nucci story last year. I mean, on and on and on. I mean, it's good that you found somebody that was on the ascendancy.
Yeah, and especially being a fourth generation horseman. I mean, yeah. Kelsey lives and breathes this game, and we're very happy to have her as our main trainer for the Crownsway team.
Well, there's. There's Danners in every walk of the game. From Doc through to Doug and Kelsey, and you can't tell the Danner without a program.
Yeah.
There's too many of them. Well, I will see you in Vegas then.
Yep, maybe we'll be on the same flight. We can do some handicapping.
Are you going today?
Tonight.
What time? I'm on at 3:30 actually.
Oh no, we're late. Yeah, we're staying through the end of the day today, and then
you'll leave tomorrow for her to pick out
bid on one. We'll leave tomorrow. It to Kelsey's devices there tomorrow. We'll leave her a little bit of a budget, hopefully.
Well, you got to be careful because John Green, his dad was under the weather, so Len couldn't come, and then next thing you know, John's buying a million too.
Yeah.
So you better give her specific instructions. That's pretty funny, Anthony. I'll see you in Vegas.
Yep.
Are you tagging along?
Yeah, qualified.
You qualify. Well, say hello here. I was trying to give you. Go ahead.
So this is Dan Piazza. He's one of our partners. He's been with us since 21, and he's part of our sales team now. He's with me at every sale.
I love it.
Yep. Qualified. This is my third year at the NHC. Looking forward to it. I thought it would be a great opportunity for Crownsway to come out there. Tony and I talked about it, and we're going to have just a wonderful, great experience out there on this trip.
Tremendous. Who'd you qualify through?
Horse Tourneys.
Nice. Nice. Where you live?
Chicago.
You're Chicago.
But yep.
Did you go to the Hawthorne contest? Because that's all. That's.
Usually I'm in Florida during the Hawthorne contest.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, because there's certain – Nick Tamaro. I mean, Nick would come up – I think he's qualified two or three times at the Hawthorne contest. It's funny because certain people have certain places that they qualify. Dave, a good friend, the Maven, I think Del Mar is his sweet spot. He goes out. He qualifies at the Del Mar, one of the Del Mar contests. You know, other guys at Monmouth, and everybody's got their own favorite. And Hawthorne opens
next the 23rd.
23rd? Mm-hmm. All right. So, 2 weeks. Yeah, 10 days. 10 days. I got to get Jim Miller on. I got to get Miller to.
Yeah. I actually played in that Hawthorne contest. I'm not as good of a handicapper as Dan, though. I pick out the horses. He bets the horses.
Nice. All right. What's your best finish so far at NHC?
Last year, probably around 250th, something like that.
All right.
That,
so yeah. Top third.
Yeah.
All right. So you got to get to day three. You want to plan to get on Sunday.
That's the goal this year.
All right. Are you going to try for a second seat?
Yes,
tomorrow?
We got three spots for tomorrow's game.
They're expecting, Keith Shamblin told us last week, like 900 entries.
Wow.
And obviously it's not 900 people, but it'll, 450, 500, probably 500 plus, I would think. All right, so we'll be sitting there. I'll be the advance party. All right?
There you go. Guys, scout it out for us.
Tell Dan, Tony, we'll see you tomorrow in Vegas. Follow me. I'm going to New Orleans after, if you want to go to New Orleans next week.
I got a new baby at home, so.
Congratulations.
I might get in a little trouble if I stay awake too long.
Too fun. Well, how do they find Crown's Way?
They can find us on X now at Crown's Way Racing and all the major social medias, and also feel free to reach out to me through email. It's real simple, AnthonyRallo@crownswayracing.com.
Well, and the website?
Crownswayracing.com.
There you go. No, you just said Crownsway Racing. Yep. Very good.
All right.
It's good
thanks
to
for
see
having
you.
Us, Steve.
Certain people, you start to get into a regular
Hopefully
flow.
We can see you at Breeders' Cup this year.
With that, too. I'll be there, I assume. Last Del Mar trip didn't go great because we managed to have a heart attack and so couldn't go. So we're going to try to avoid that. We're going to try to grab Clancy right now. I told him 15 minutes, so let's try to thank you. Let's try to get Sean in here live from Cheltenham. And we had a couple of trainer visits. Actually, Jonathan Thomas, I think, might pop his head in here. And I didn't realize. All right, here, we'll watch it. We'll watch it together. Here we go. Here's Sean Clancy, and I didn't realize that the Coral Cup had started.
We got three to go in the Coral Cup. Are you there?
I am. I'm watching. You killed us.
Some timing, buddy.
I didn't realize I was.
That's okay.
Here we go.
We still love you.
This is
time difference is tricky for you. I know. All right, three to go. Beacon Edge is going well inside. I've always liked Guard Your Dreams at a giant price on the outside. I like Franciscan Rock at a giant price. Always liked him. Sir Majesty made an error there. He slid all the way back. Man, this is a minefield here.
Look at this
here
line, Sean.
It's beautiful. Guard Your Dreams is there. Franciscan Rock is there. Giant price. There we go.
Unbelievable.
Langer Dan's making a run. He set him up for the handicap. Bally Adams running. Died of the Grace making a run.
Got stable
Langer
mates,
Dan.
No?
Langer Dan. He set this horse up for 1 year to win this. This is as good a handicapping job in history.
Stuff.
Langer Dan's done it again. Dan Skelton. He's one of the greatest handicap trainers in history. He was one of here last year. Yeah. Franciscan Rock is a great fit at a giant price. I bet him each way. I think I still get fifth. It's Dan Skelton. I mean, Dan Skelton set this up. The horse won it 1 year ago. been toiling and toying with him ever since. Amazing. I think he's he might be 4 pounds or 8 pounds heavier than last year. So good at it.
I'm just looking at
his skeleton's unbelievable. His skeleton's unbelievable. Langer did. Yeah, he's done nothing with him ever since 11-2.
That's the that's Langer Dan and 6-1.
Langer Dan
6-1 domestically.
Won it here last year. He's done nothing since, handicapping him for this.
Well, this was the Coral. This is the Coral Cup. The handicap.
It's a crazy handicap. I mean, it's just it's a minefield. Wow. Langer Dan was very good. He won it last year. I picked him last year. I just couldn't believe he could pull it off again. He did it again.
Well, you certainly, for everybody that was looking at thisishorseracing.com, Sean, you had a big score in the novice hurdle. Or no, in the
I've done well. Yeah,
in the chase.
I did the straight exact and straight triple in the first two. I wasn't very good here, although I threw out Franciscan Rock as a giant bomb each way. If you were betting to five places, you got a little payoff there. But these handicaps are so tricky.
Well, the Queen Mother is next.
The Queen Mother Champion Chase. So this is the greatest 2 miles in the history of the sport. It's absolute fast. They jump big fences. Sadly, John Bond scratch, which is disappointing. But it'll be a great race. El Fabiolo is obviously the favorite. Edward Stone will try to get him on his back foot. And as I always say, the key is like how many horses are in the race. Without John Bond, and Paul Towns got a much easier job on El Fabiolo, because then he can decide when he wants to go after Edward Stone in front, because he doesn't have John Bond behind him. It's very crucial. When it comes to tactics when he gets to these races.
There's just a field of six. That goes at 11:30, and they're obviously they're running behind a little bit today.
You know, so what they did? So they canceled the cross country. So that was the fifth race of the day. They canceled that, and then they changed post times. They moved the first three post times. I think first four post times are moved back 15 minutes.
Okay.
The last two are the same. But yeah, okay. That's what's happened because of the heavy ground. That they actually canceled the cross country because that's in the infield. So the rain, all the water drains down into the infield. So they canceled that. They were talking about running it on Friday, but I think they've canceled it all altogether.
Right. Well, and Sean, a quick recap of yesterday. Mullins, predictably, not just off to a good start, but a little bit of a storm.
Yeah, look, Willie Mullins has changed the game. I mean, he's England's Wayne Lucas or England's Todd Fletcher or England's Chad Brown. He's totally changed it over here. He's got an arsenal of horses. Now they switch it to 4 days, so then it's even a trickle down from that. He can pick his spots where before at least he'd have to run some of them more of them against each other. Now he's got spots. He literally just picks his spots, and the guy's brilliant. It's a great credit to him. He's a brilliant trainer. I mean, and one thing about Willie Mullins, he does train his horses very differently, as opposed to just the cookie cutter approach, like this is what they do. Willie Mullins, he's just a magician. He'll run a horse. I mean, he might run him 4 or 5 times in a season leading up to this. Some of them will get here off of one run. Some of them will get off two. Some Quivega was a great mare over here. He would literally run her. She would run here and punch us down, and that's it. She'd show up back here once a year, and she would win. So the guy's... He's just a brilliant, brilliant trainer. Now he's got all the horses and he's got all the money. He's got all the arsenal. So now it's even more more extreme. But credit to him. He's built that. He's going to win. El Fabiola wins the Queen Mother next race. That's going to be 100 winners at the Cheltenham Festival, which is just unheard of. He's absolutely changed the game over here.
Sean, set the stage as well for the rest of the week.
Well, look, you know, it's every day here is, there's a couple of really great, championship races, great ones. The next 2 days, you got the Stayers Hurdle tomorrow, and then you got the Cheltenham Gold Cup on Friday. which Galvin Deschamps tries to win it again. He's been a brilliant horse, fast or slow, is tough in there. It's like always, it's a brilliant deep race, 3.25 miles. You really test the horses. That's the all time. I mean, that's what everybody wants to win, is the Cheltenham Gold Cup. So that's Friday. But look, it's just great sport. I mean, the one thing, everybody knows me at home as a steeplechase guy because that's what I do. And I tell people, look, if you come to Cheltenham, you're not going to be standing here going, oh, but it's jump racing. You're going to stand here and go, wow, this is just great racing. It's great sport. Rogers Beasley standing out here on the Great Lawn, and I said the same thing to him. He's like, wow, this is just great sport. So that's the beauty of being here. It's just such a one-off. The sport's still here. It's changed a lot. Obviously, the likes of Willie Mullins and a few other big stables have changed. Ireland's dominating now. That's changed a lot. I was here in 2002. It was my first Cheltenham, and look back, and there were 18 races over 3 days. Martin Pike won 3, Philip Hobbs won 2, and the rest of them were spread around all the other trainers. And it was beautiful. You know, it's changed quite a bit, but it's still as good as it gets. And you need to get your ass over here. Can I say that on
radio? Yeah, you sure can.
Yeah, you need to be here. I mean, this is just, it's just a, one thing I always say, and I don't know if I've ever written it, but one thing you got to remember as a racing fan, I said it earlier today, wherever you go racing in the world, that is their best version of horse racing.
Right.
I think it's really important to keep that in mind. So obviously Cheltenham, this is their best version, which they can take it to another level. I think no matter where you go in the world, I don't care if it's Jersey or Spain or Italy or the beach at Laytown or Far Hills or Iroquois or Aiken or wherever you go, even Laurel Park, I mean, that is their best version of horse racing that they can put on. And you really need to appreciate it rather than getting there and going, oh, this isn't that, or this isn't as good. Or that. I think as racing fans, you go wherever you go in the world, you stop and say, wow, this is their best version of horse racing.
Well, and one of the charms of going to a place like, to a stand like Cheltenham or to Ascot, we had an interesting, Tina and I, an interesting year, the opportunity to go to Longchamp on just a nice Thursday, afternoon. We went to the Christmas week action at Leopardstown. You're someplace else. It's a wide-eyed experience. You're sort of imbued just naturally by the atmosphere, and in fact, I think you and I had this conversation either when we came back from France or when we came back from Ireland, that you get a renewed fervor for the game.
Yeah, for sure. Look, that's exactly right. You got to travel around, you got to go different places, and you got to see it in your own eyes. You got to be here. And I mean, people say it's just as good on TV. That's ridiculous. You gotta be at the place. You gotta get the atmosphere. I grew up. Look, I mean, all of us are old timers. So you grew up, and the only way you can see your dad's horse run was go there live. So I went with my father to Charlestown or Bowie and Pimlico and Hall and Delaware Park and all the hunt meets around the country, and that's where you get the great appreciation for the sport, and that's. That's what you get here. And like for me, this just changed my world coming over here. I mean, I stopped riding in 2000. It was foot and mouth in 2001. They canceled it. I was here in 2002. And it just changed my world just to see the perspective of seeing the sport at this level and seeing the great horses and the great horsemen. It just changed your world. It gives you a totally different perspective. And, look, I'm a racing fan, and I just enjoy a great sport, and that's what you get here. Like I said, I think you go anywhere in the world, and that's great sport for what they can put on. I think it's really important to keep that in mind.
Well, for those that are following, we've had both. We had Nick Luck start us off yesterday with Steel Slade, and of course Kev Humphreys, the long shot lad, his analysis, and then at thisishorseracing.com, Sean, who's really, you're off to a tremendous start these first 2 days.
Yeah, I've had a couple good days. I love Joseph O'Brien's horse and Fred Winter yesterday. I thought that was a good score. Then I think today I gave out the straight exact in the first, straight triple in the second. I love Giovinco. I needed him to finish second behind Factor File for being exact. But he finished third. Good ride by Steve McQueen, who's come over to America and ridden well. Good guy, and he gave the horse a beautiful ride. So, we'll keep sparring with the bookies here. We're trying.
You got so with that fifth canceled, any sixth or seventh? You got a preference?
Hold on, I gotta look at my program. I thought the. I mean, you got El Fabiolo in the next and Queen
right.
Mother. He looks like a certainty to me. Edward Stone will make it tricky in front, but he should win. The Johnny Henderson is that is very tricky. It's a handicap, big field. I kind of was all over the place. I like Madara just because they did the reverse commute from England to Ireland and won over there. I thought he was very impressive over there winning. He still got a few pounds in hand. I thought he was good. And the Johnny Henderson, beyond him, I thought it was very tricky. I thought the horse was second to him. I'll butcher the French name, but Pas de Wah or something, number eight. I thought he was good second behind him. Saint Wah is Willie Mullins. He's dropping out of grade ones. I've never quite been convinced of the horse. He'll take some money, so I think you got to try to be clever there. And in the last, in the bumper, I actually landed on the yellow clay for Gordon Elliott. I thought his comeback race in a bumper, he got steady. He was, they said they rode him conservatively. He finished, but he really got sawed off at an important moment. Jockey's very smart, kind of regrouped and took his time. Finished kind of a running on fourth without a hard race. I just thought that was pretty clever to come here. That's where I went. I thought maybe a little value. Willie Mullins got 10 in there. She got to try to be contrarian. You know?
And we complain. We complain when Chad's got three.
It's a different world.
I will tell everybody. Kev Humphreys. Is also on yellow clay. It's the 17. He likes the yellow clay, and he's also in on the number 20. You ought to know that in the seventh that goes at 1:30. So the 17 and 20, and in fact, I'm just looking. Kev, along with you, he likes Madara too.
In the sixth. It's not real creative, but I like the horse.
All right,
it's been around. They've done a good job with the horse. James Reevely rides him. He's actually a great story. He was here in England. Career wasn't really going anywhere here. Got totally rediscovered. Went to France and has been champion jockey over here. It'd be really cool for him to win the race at the festival.
Sean, might get a chance to check in with you again. This was perfect.
I hope so. Yeah, that was fun. It's the best. Anybody, you got to come over here.
All right, you're gonna
get over here.
We should
have. Get over here. I got you to Nashville. I got you to Nashville. That was a great success. You know, I feel like I was a real influencer. Got you to Nashville, but now Cheltenham's next on the docket. Come on, man.
Boy,
make it happen.
All right, and you got me to Nashville, and you didn't even have to wear a bow tie to influence me.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, get over here. Let's go.
Sean Clancy live from Cheltenham, everybody.
You can get here Friday. I've got to go
to Vegas.
I know. You got your schedule. You got your schedule planned for 5 years from. The rest of us are just going day to day. But I know you got the whole schedule. 5 years.
It's a five-year plan.
Can we go to lunch next week? Is it next week I can get you in for 2028? I know. It's like, okay, that's cool, Steve. That'd be great. Yeah, I'm free. July 14, 2028, I think, we're scheduled for lunch. That'd be great.
Exactly. And actually, I had to trim it down to 20 minutes. So it's a quick lunch.
That's okay. I'll take 20 minutes.
Sean Clancy, right, everybody, thanks. Enjoy. Have fun.
And right,
we'll,
sounds good.
We'll talk again. Sean Clancy, everybody, live from Cheltenham with I tell you, that's the perfect setting for him. He totally in his element. I love it. Kev, actually, and I'm trying to catch up on all the handicapping. Kev was on Langerdan. And, you know, unfortunately, Kev this week is traveling himself. So I can tell, you know, he's basically, as opposed to his usual more detailed wagering, he's pretty much just giving some picks. But Langerdan was on top for him in that third that we heard the Coral Cup finish, which was pretty exciting. There is a second day in a row I've seen this adorable dog. He's sort of a corgi, but not. He's built like a corgi. But I think he's something else, though. He's got an entirely little white face, and he's a bit of a puppy, and he's hysterical. He's one of those dogs that that walks with the leash in their mouth. I just heard from Trey Stiles, who is already encamped at Vegas. So the clubhouse lawyer, as we call him, and we'll see him tomorrow. And usually Roger Satina is an early visit as well. There is quite a bit of overlap between the rest of the way between Kev and Sean. In addition to Madara, Kev has also got the 11 here in the next. Actually, Edward Stone is going to be a very short price in that fourth, which is, it's supposed to be post time, but it's not. I mean, and this is just a six horse field. This is not going to be. Edward Stone is 7-1. The heavy favorite that Sean talked about, El Fabiolo. For Mullins is 1-2. Edward Stone is Alan King, and of course, over the years, particularly Kev has made hay with Alan King. That's been one of his favorite, one of his absolute favorite horseman plays. So the post times are meaningless the way they're laid out, as Sean explained, with the fifth having been canceled. But then if you go to that sixth, Kev, I mentioned Madara, he also likes the 11, Unexpected Party, and the 16, Hardy de Seul. And I think Sean had two other French players, Path de Roe and Saint-Roi. So this is horseracing.com for Sean's picks. And my Twitter feed for Kev's, the long shot lad. And then in that nightcap, they both intersect with the yellow clay. But that's one of those, you know, wide open, gigantic field specials that, and Kev historically is good for one or two of those pops every year. Kip has circled back. Grab that. What's been? It's a very quiet. It seems like everybody's focused right now on the action in the ring.
Everybody's focused on the action in the ring or the action at Cheltenham One.
Well, one or the other. you make your choice. No, I mean, obviously, I got 8 million things going at once. And by the way, we did catch Hong Kong. And I told you that, you know, for those that rebooted with Dick Powell, it was $102.90 double that Dick put together. The 2.5 came back $102.90. So last week, the $138 pick three. This week, the $103 double, even though he got knocked out in that first leg. So good job, Dick Powell. We got about 15 minutes to close out, and you know, I'm just we missed we had we had a couple of people that were Jonathan Thomas, if you don't reel them in, when you got the opportunity, Kip, I'm not a big fisherman historically. You strike me as somebody that has fished a little. No, not a fisherman. You got the right. No. You got the right to look for it. You got the hat. You got the vest. All that stuff.
I got the hat to keep the sun.
All right. Well, then that's why fishermen wear them. Too funny. We lost Jonathan and Buff Bradley was going to. We had Buff Bradley lined up too, and my man Joe Bianca. He never came by, but we had Terry Finley to start the morning. That was great, by the way. Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We gave everybody the future wager, and we did the Mullins. Oh, a couple of other news pieces then. Purse increases for the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Turf, both kicked up by $1 million. Breeders' Cup Classic will be $7 million. The Turf, $5 million. That coming out, and they both have made steady progress on that. We talked about that part we did with yesterday with everybody. As I'm trying to, because I've got when the clock strikes 57, I got to pack up and get down to Tampa to make that flight. That's Suncoast. Instead of 75, I've come up Suncoast. It can be, yeah. No, I know. No, I it's funny you say that because that was my concern, and right now they're showing an hour and 27 minutes actually, which is not bad. That would be fine. Yeah, right now 75 is better actually than Suncoast, but that's the problem. That's the problem with Florida in general, right? No, exactly. It's a complete random crapshoot. Let's grab. Let me grab Seth. And unfortunately, I would have loved for Seth to come back out again to Vegas, but his travel plan was Florida. There's Ned Toffee, Spendthrift, a monster presence, of course, here. And let's say good morning, Seth Merrill.
Good morning. I'm sitting here planning to head into TV, and I was getting worried. You got the, as usual, when you're on the road, you got the full agenda. And I like Clancy. I think it is a 5-year plan you have.
Well, it's the same. It's not like the schedule changes all that much. Although we did add Nashville, which we're going to do again. It was so funny when it came to Nashville. For years, and Kip, you must, you can appreciate it. You thought to yourself, well, I'm at Derby, and then I got to get to Baltimore. So you're thinking, well, how can I go to Nashville in between? It's just not practice. And then all I had to do was actually do it and realize, well, this was stupid. I could have been doing this all along. I stay Monday and Tuesday in Louisville. I do the Derby recap. I mean, there's a ton of things to do. As it happened, Ramiro Restrepo was right there, to come sit and Phil Bauer people came and we did live recapping and then drove to Tuesday afternoon, drove to Nashville and, was there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It was fabulous.
Great trip.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we're doing it again. But then the one part of it that's a little bit of a Nashville to Baltimore, that's 10 hours. It's a straight shot. I break up the drive to Louisville 7 hours and 7 hours.
It's easy. Get yourself a book on tape and roll on down the road.
I don't like that. I don't like the books on tape. You're a book on tape guy?
Absolutely love it. Gets me up and down the road all the time.
I can't. Seth, you book on tape?
I will tell people there is, you go online, there's a website called Old Time Radio Archive, and it has like every old time radio show, and I pull those up. I love those.
Like Inner Sanctum and stuff?
Exactly. Oh, and it's everything.
I got to get that from you.
The Shadow?
Yep.
Lamont Cranston. We love The Shadow. I can tell you a quick funny story. At Colgate, called Colgate Deke, Mew Deke, and Walter Gibson, who wrote The Shadow stories. When he was at Colgate as an undergrad, he couldn't join a fraternity, and years later, as an alumnus, we added Hoot Gibson to the roles, and he's an amazing guy, Walter Hoot Gibson, who wrote The Shadow Mysteries.
Yeah, the radio version is Orson Welles.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Orson Welles plays
The Shadow.
The Shadow?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
My father, I remember my father, the one he loved was Inner Sanctum. That was his, which was a scary, like an Outer Limits on radio, basically. You know, like a tales of you know, suspense or whatever. I've never listened to one, so I should... The Shadow knows, though. I who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
Yep.
Well, you've done a tremendous service here today, Seth.
It is a site worth checking out if people are, because on long drives I'll just listen to those old radio shows, and like I say, they have everything there.
Wow! Say it again.
Great.
Old.
I think it's called the Old Time Radio Archive.
Old Time Radio Archive. All right. Is it old time TYME?
No.
Old timey. Old time radio archive. There we go. Look at this. Well, there's archive.org, old time radio showcase, radio show and pro free audio, and Old Time Radio Archive, YouTube. All right, The Shadow Radio. This is unbelievable. Internet in archive.org looks like...
Sounds right, yeah.
And then there's radioarchives.com. Well, you've opened up a whole new world to countless listeners. Nice job, Seth.
As I say, it's worth checking out. Looking here. Yeah, it is. It's that archive.org. That's the one. I just pulled it up. That's
very
the one
cool.
I use. There's everything. Philip Marlowe, Richard Diamond. They have Sherlock Holmes, old Sherlock Holmes with Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce.
Very cool. I've seen the movies, but I didn't realize
that's worth 10,000 frequent driver miles.
Absolutely.
Well, and I'm going to give you a gift certificate to Howard Johnson's for tender sweet fried clams. Good job, my man. Seth, catch up quick. We got about we got about 7 minutes. You got action today.
I can go through a Tampa pick four quick if you want me to.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, were you on TV Saturday for the meltdown?
We were doing a fan appreciation day in the Glens Falls branch, and we had kind of just wrapped it up, and I was heading out Florida, the Oaks, and I sat down because I wanted to watch the Derby and make a bet, and, you know, there was the delay, and then I realized the delay, because I'm sitting in a parlor, so there's a bunch of TVs in front of me. I realized the delay was beyond Tampa, but I hung around for a while and saw them circling around, and I knew that couldn't last for forever, and sure enough, they came out on the track, and, you know, obviously I couldn't make the bet I wanted in the Derby, but I was not on TV in my normal capacity, and I was done by the time that went off. That was certainly a wild situation.
Well, and we, and it just so happened that Jason Beam came up here yesterday, you know, just to have a, just to get out of Tampa and you know, clear his head a little, and reset for their back racing today. But I mean, it was an unusual scenario. The situation was just the tension was building, and you could tell that they were knew as little as the rest of us. And Peter Berube, he was trying to get answers, and they weren't forthcoming. So it was.
It's the biggest race of the year for a track like that. I felt for them, yep. But I think they did the right thing. But you know, if the horses hadn't been in the paddock, you maybe have been able to say, "Hey, we'll run it tomorrow." But the horses were already in the paddock, walking around, and you had to run it really. And it's just an unfortunate situation all around.
You couldn't do that either because the horses had already been treated. Although this is non-lasix,
right. Correct.
Though. But I mean, anything else that was involved, it was not. The horses were terrific. I mean, they acted great group
of horses. They all kept their cool,
right?
In the paddock,
yeah.
For a long, long time.
35 minutes.
They all kept their composure.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful testament to the whole group of them.
Exactly.
And then it played out. I like the 1-2 finishers, the way they came in, Domestic Product and No More Time. I'm just not sure, looking at the way that race was run, we can either make much of a decision or the decision has to be, I'm not sure what I'm loving coming out of there, but they, you know, they both ran well, but it's just a funny race given the pace scenario.
Well, how about today? What do we got for Tampa?
We'll do the late pick 4 again, and I'll zip through it quick here, but just to go back to last week, the last race in my pick 4 sequence last week, I did not have the winner. But I will say, go look that up if you want a definition, a racetrack dictionary definition of they knew. Saybrook, the horse that won, was 10-1 on the morning line. Won like a champ. Won by, I think, 10 lengths. And it was a horse coming off a debut effort last September, running 8th at 47-1. And there was nothing to kind of indicate the horse other than looking at the tote board and seeing the horse go up as the favorite. So they knew last week. But we'll see. This week, sixth race, I have a 3-4, 1-6. I'm going to use the 3 and the 4 in here. Waterworks on top. Sammy Camacho on board. Having another great meet down there. He's 63-55 over Gallardo, leading the jockey standings. Victor Carrasco also having a pretty good meet as the trainer. He's sitting 8th in the standings, but with a good percentage. I mean, he only has 45 starters, and a few of the others have over 100. So he's having a pretty good meet. So you have potent connections with a horse in good form. Off the Claim moves up. I think it's going to fit, however. But Ken Major comes in off a fourth place finish last time that broke a win streak. But I think moving into this claiming level out of some optional claimers, I think, is going to be beneficial to that one. So I have a 3, 4, 1, and 6, but I'm going to use the 3 and the 4 in the 6th, 7th race. I'm going to go 3 deep in here. 3, 6, 1, and 5 for me, but I'll use the 3, 6, and the 1 Awesome City for Gerald Bennett. Another trainer doing very well at the meet, as he typically does. And I like to cut back to 6.5 last time that was productive, goes to 6 today. Third start back off a little bit of a layoff. Fire Baron, Sammy Camacho on board. But a horse that's firing some numbers that are okay, hasn't been managing to, you know, get up there. But I think with this particular group is going to fit all right. And then Milchin in the 3rd spot. A couple of starts so far, a little bit of an improvement, start 1 to start 2. And I think we can move forward again with the experience under the belt. So again, I'll use 3, 6, and 1 in the 7th. In the 8th, I have it 6, 2, 3, and 5, but again, I'm going to go 3 deep, 6, 2, and 3. I'll put Rule It on top. Michael Simone, the trainer, over the past 25 starts, 10 exacta finishes, so he's going well. I will say there are more seconds than firsts, but I thought this horse was a nice fit in here this afternoon on the class. Rob, go back down to the level of the Claim 3 back, so I'll put Rule It on top. Sky Hooper in the 2nd spot, nice maiden breaker, 2 back, tried limited winners last time, got some experience, but drops a little bit today to maybe get back to what we saw 2 starts ago. San Andreas comes in with a couple of good seconds. happen this afternoon. So in the 8, 6, 2, and 3, and in the finale, I'll use all 4, 4, 7, 2, and 6. You know, we're at the bottom level of claimers, so in a little bit anything can happen. But I like not a cat but a card on the quick turnaround. I always like that. I think it shows a little confidence in the horse. And as the aforementioned Michael Simone, so we'll use the 4 on top. Second slot, Sandy Lane Kitten. Been facing these kind the last couple of starts, and it's been competitive. I think when you look at this group in particular, I think it's going to mix it up. Cuz in the third spot came back from a layoff last time, ran third, should benefit from that. And Alvy is getting class relief that might actually make Alvy the one to beat. You never know at this level, but again, on the class move, might be productive. In the ninth and final, 4, 7, 2, and 6.
There you go. 3, 4 with 1, 3, 6 with 2, 3, 6 with 2, 4, 6, 7. 3, 4 with 1, 3, 6 with 2, 3, 6 with 2, 4, 6, 7. $36 punch from Seth Merrow. Seth Merrow, 2 on Twitter, but number 1 in your heart. Seth, I will talk to you. Maybe if you want a Vegas thing on Sunday, let me know. And
yeah, maybe we will.
All right. Otherwise, I will talk to you from New Orleans next week.
Say hello to Keith and the various players, Paul and Duke and whatnot. I'm envious of you going out there. Have fun.
Duke going into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, is he really?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Yep. I didn't know that.
There you go. Seth Merrow.
And I'll be listening.
I appreciate it.
And I'll tell my viewers to listen, too. As I always say, I couldn't imagine radio coverage of a handicapping contest, but it's a lot of fun every year.
Well, and we'll have TV feed, too, actually, on Sunday from the final table. There we go. We're going to wrap up and send it out into the race day. More expanded, obviously, on Wednesday. Tampa and Gulfstream and more. Thanks to Kip Elser and Terry Finley. Started us off, Sid and Dick with the Wednesday activities, Anthony Rollo and the Crowns Way team, Sean Clancy live from Cheltenham, and Seth with some Tampa action for everybody. Thanks to Tom Ventura and Wojo and the whole team here at OBS. I don't know, fifth, sixth year we've done OBS March. The action is well underway, an hour into the second session. We will come to you tomorrow morning from the Event Center at Horseshoe Las Vegas. Last chance, first chance contest for the National Handicapping Championship, National Horse Player Championship. And I will see you there. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
PA Bread, I think we've built a brand at this point.
The state of Pennsylvania has the best breeders program in the entire United States.
Angel of Empire wins the Arkansas Derby and wins it clear.
Caravel in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint.
Pennsylvania and the PHBA have the best state bred program in the country, bar none. The best Breeders' Awards and Stallion Awards in the country.
If you're racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
An app created specifically for horse racing. Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumps.